Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Ram Goldar, and today we're Zechus Mod Katan Daf Zayin. The first parak, Mashkin Beis Shlachim. The first parak has been generously sponsored in the memory of Menachem Mendel, ben Rav Yosef Yitzchak Isaac Cohen, and his son Habachi Yosef Yitzchak Isaac ben Rav Menachem Mendel Cohen. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next Mishnah states, Rav Meir says, Roinus Nagaim Lahakel Avol Hachmir. A Cohen may look and examine a neged saras on Cho Amod to be Meiko, but not to be Machmir. Rashi explains that if the Cohen sees that he's Tameh, he shouldn't say anything, because if he declares him Tameh, he'll cause the person distress. And the Torah says, V'samachta b'chagecha, and you should rejoice in your chag. But the Chachamim say, L'lahakel, L'lahachmir. A Kohen may not examine at all, neither to be Mekel nor Machmir. They hold that the Kohen examines a Nega must make a ruling, and if he were to examine it in order to be lenient, he might end up having to be Machmir. Point number two, the Gemara brings a Braisa with a similar Machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Meir says that the Kohen can look at the Nega to be Mekel, and Rabbi Yossi holds like the Chachamim that the Kohen should not examine the Nega on Chol HaMoed. Rabbah qualifies the Machlokes. In a case where the person was never examined by a Kohen, they both agree that he should not be checked, because a decision can only worsen his situation. They also agree that if a person is behesk rishon, his first confinement, he should be examined, because an examination can possibly improve his situation if he's rendered tahor. They disagree only in the case of someone at the end of a second hezker, a second confinement, where a situation will improve if he's tahor and worsen if he's tameh, as he will then be distressed on becoming a motzor muchlat. Rabbi Meir holds it, Bekon Tal Yamilsa, that the determination of becoming a Mitzor Muchlad is dependent on the Kohen's decision. If he's Tahor, the Kohen tells him Tahor, and if he's Tameh, then the Kohen is silent, which prevents the person from being declared a Mitzor Muchlad. Rabbi Yossi holds the Kohen cannot remain silent, for the Pasuk states, L'Taharo U'Tamo, to declare it, the Nega, Tahor, or to declare it Tameh. Therefore, the Kohen should not examine the Nega on Chol HaMoed, for he might be forced to declare the person as a Mitzor Muchlat. And point number three, the Gemara brings a Braisa to prove that becoming a Mitzor is dependent on the Kohen's ruling, for it was taught that the Pasuk states, B'yom Heroz Bo, but on the day that the healthy flesh is observed in it, it shall be Tameh. This implies that there's a day in which the Kohen examines a Tzaras, and there's a day in which the Kohen does not examine it. From here we learn, Chasson Shinoa Bo Nega, Nosin Lo Shivas Yameha Mishta, a Chasson who develops a Nega, we give him the 7 days of his wedding celebration before examining it. Lo Luvesa Uksuso. We give the Chasson this allowance as well as for his house and his clothing. Similarly, if someone develops a Nega before a Rego, we give him 7 days of the Chag before examining it. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi said, we don't need this structure, for the Pasuk states, V'tziva kohen ufinu asabayis, the kohen shall command, and they will clear the house. This is done to prevent financial loss if the contents were there when it was declared tameh. Imam tinin lo dvar rishus, kol shekein lo dvar mitzvah. If we delay the inspection for him for a discretionary matter, to avoid financial loss, then all the more so we should postpone the inspection for a dvar mitzvah. So once again, the three topics are number one. The next Mishnah states, where Meir says that Roinus Nagaim Lahakel Avol Hachmir. A Kohen may look and examine a Neged Saras on Chol HaMoed to be Mekel, but not to be Machmir. Rashi explains that if the Kohen sees that he's Tameh, he shouldn't say anything, because if he declares him Tameh, he will cause the person distress. And the Torah says, V'samachta b'chagecha, and you should rejoice on your Chag. But the Chachamim say, Lo Lahakel V'Lahachmir. A Kohen may not examine at all, neither to be Mekel nor Machmir. They hold that the Kohen who examines a Nega must make a ruling, and if he were to examine it in order to be lenient, he might end up having to be Machmir. Point number two, the Gemara brings a Braisa with a similar Machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, where Rabbi Meir says that the Kohen can look at the Nega to be Mekel, and Rabbi Yossi holds, like the Chachamim, that the Kohen should not examine the Nega on Chol HaMoed. Rava qualifies the Machlokas. In a case where the person was never examined by a Kohen, they both agree that he should not be checked, because a decision can only worsen his situation. They also agree that if a person is behesk rishon, his first confinement, he should be examined, because an examination can possibly improve his situation if he's rendered tahor. They disagree only in the case of someone at the end of his second hezker, his second confinement, where his situation will improve if he's tahor and worsen if he's tameh, as he will then be distressed on becoming a mitzor muchlat. Rav Meir holds, Bekon tal yamilsa, that the determination of becoming a mitzor muchlat is dependent on the Kohen's decision. If he's tahor, the Kohen tells him tahor. And if he's tameh, then Kohen is silent, which prevents the person from being declared a mitzor muchlat. Rabbi Yossi holds the Kohen cannot remain silent, for the pasuk states, "V'taharo u'tamo," to declare it the nega tahor, or to declare it tameh. Therefore, the Kohen should not examine the nega on Chol HaMoed, for he might be forced to declare the person as a mitzor muchlat. And pointing with you, the Gemara brings a braisa to prove that becoming a Matzor is dependent on the Kohen's ruling, for it was taught that the Pasuk states, Ubiyom heros bo, but on the day that the healthy flesh is observed in it, it shall be tameh. This implies that there's a day in which the Kohen examines its ras, and there's a day in which the Kohen does not examine it. From here we learn, Chasen shenoa bo nega, nosin lo shivas yemei ha-mishtas. Al Chasen who develops a nega, we give him the 7 days of his wedding celebration before examining it. Lo levesa uksuso. We give the chasen this allowance as well for his house and clothing. Similarly, if someone develops a nega before a regal, we give him 7 days of the chag before examining it. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi said, we do not need this drasha, for the pasuk states, v'tziva ha-kohen v'finu ha-sabayis, the kohen shall command and they will clear the house. This is done to prevent financial loss if the contents were there when it was declared tameh. Imam timin lo ledvar rishos, kol shekin ledvar mitzvah. If we delay the inspection for him for a discretionary matter, to avoid financial loss, then all the more so we should postpone the inspection for a dvar mitzvah. All right, so now we go to a simmer dav zayin, and our standard simmon is a kli zayin, a weapon. So we use a gun as the simmon, a gun. So here goes. The heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's nagaim on Chol HaMoed weren't sure if they should let him go and look at the Matzorah at the end of his second confinement, and told a chasen to come back in a week after Sheva Brachas. So once again, it's a motion. The heavily armed guards, gun, that must mean we're on dav Zion. The heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's Nagaim on Chol HaMoed, which reminds us that we have a Malchus Rav Meir on the Chachamim whether a Kohen can look at a Nega on Chol HaMoed. Rav Meir says, a Kohen may look and examine a Nega Tzras on Chol HaMoed to be Mekel, but not to be Machmir. Rashi explains that Kohen sees that he's Tamei shouldn't say anything, because if he declares him Tamei, he'll cause a person distress, and the Torah says, V'samach b'chagecha, and you should rejoice in your Chag. But the Chachamim say a Kohen may not examine at all, neither to be Mekel nor Machmir. They hold the Kohen who examines a Nega must make a ruling, and if he were to examine it in order to be Mekel, he might end up having to be Machmir. So, the heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's Nagaim on Chol HaMoed weren't sure if they should let him go and look at the Matzorah at the end of his second confinement, which reminds us. The Gemara brings a similar Malchokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi, who holds like the Chachamim, and Rabbi qualifies the Malchokas that they only disagree in the case of someone at the end of his second confinement, where his situation will improve if he's Tahor and worsen if he's Tameh, as he'll be distressed on becoming a Matzorah Mukhlat. So, the heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's Nagaim on Chol HaMoed weren't sure if they should let him go and look at the Matzorah at the end of his second confinement, and told a chasen to come back in a week after Sheva Brachas. Which reminds us, since becoming a Matzorah is dependent on the Kohen's declaration of the person being Tameh, we learn that if chasen develops a nega, we give him 7 days of a Sheva Brachas before examining it, and we also give him an allowance for his house and clothing. Similarly, if someone develops a nega before a regal, we give him 7 days of the chag before examining it. So once again, the heavily armed guards hired to prevent the Kohen from looking at people's nagaim on Chol HaMoed weren't sure if they should let him go and look at the Matzorah at the end of his second confinement, and told a chasen to come back in a week after Sheva Brachas. All right, now it's time for four Blabak Hazara. Daf Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Gimel is a Gemal, a camel. So here goes. The man riding his camel, camel. That must mean we're on Daf Gimel, Gemal. The man riding his camel and watering his seeds during Shemitah, which reminds us, the Gemara questions how the Mishnah permits watering irrigated fields on Shemitah. For whether one holds that watering is prohibited due to sowing or due to plowing, it should be prohibited. Abai answered, the Mishnah is going according to Rebbe, who holds that Shemitah nowadays is only the Rabbanan, and since there be a lot, if one does not water his irrigated field in Shemitah, the Rabbanan permitted it. Rava said, you can even say the Mishnah is going according to the Rabbanan, who hold that Shemitah nowadays is a Daraisa. But the Torah only prohibits Avos and not Toldos, except for Zemir and Betzira, pruning and picking grapes. So the man riding his camel and watering his seeds during Shemitah came across an old sign that said plowing before Shemitah is only permitted until Pesach, which reminds us the Gemara brings the Mishnah in Shvi'is regarding until when one can plow a Estei Lavan and a Estei Ilan, a grain field and a field of trees. With the opinions of Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, and Rabbi Shimon, who holds, with regard to a Estei Lavan, a grain field, one can plow until Pesach, and with regard to a Estei Ilan, a field of trees, one may plow until Shavuos. So the man riding his camel and watering his seeds during Shemitah came across an old sign that said plowing before Shemitah is only permitted until Pesach. That was being removed by later basin that was mevatel, the decree, which reminds us. The Gemara asks how Rama Gamliel and his basin were able to mevatel the earlier times of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, when we know Ein basin yachol levatel divrei basin chavero elim ken gadol mimena b'chachma ubeminyan. A basin cannot be mevatel a decree of another basin unless it's greater than the earlier basin in wisdom and in number. The Gemara answers that Beisham Beis Hillel initially stipulated called Rotzel Avatel Yavo Yavatel. Whoever wants to be Mavatel the decree in the future may do so. The Gemara clarifies that the Halacha of Moshe Mitzrayim that prohibits plowing 30 days before Rosh Hashanah remained in place. Daf Dalet. So the Simur Daf Dalet is a door. So here goes. The person used a door. That must mean we're in Daf Dalet. Door. The person used a door to block people from drawing water from a pool of rainwater to irrigate on Chol HaMoed, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why it's prohibited to use water from a pool of rainwater to irrigate a canal on Chol HaMoed, since there's no Tirchei Yisera. There's no excessive effort. Rabbi Allah said, and then Rabbi Yochanan, Gezera Megesham Atume Kilon. It's a decree on rainwater because of water from a well. And Rashi explains that people may come to draw water from a well. Ravashi said, Megesham Gufal Lide Mekilon Asu. The rainwater itself will become like water from the well, and that it will eventually require a pail. Rashi explains that as water is used, the water level will go down, and a person will need to draw the water with a pail. So the person used a door to block people from drawing water from a pool of rainwater to irrigate on Chol HaMoed. Use another one to prevent people from digging a new canal during Shviz, which reminds us, the Gemara asks why is it prohibited to dig out a new irrigation canal during Shviz when there's no concern for Tircha? Rabbi Zer and Rabbi Abba Bar Mamo disagree on the reason. One says, because it appears as if the person is hoeing, and the other one says, because he's making the canal's banks suitable for sowing. The Gemara says, enough kamina between the two. It's a case where one takes the earth from the canal and throws it far away from the banks of the canal. In this case, there is no concern according to the one who holds the issue is preparing the banks for sowing, while still forbidden according to the one who holds that the issue is hoeing. So, the person who used a door to block people from drawing water from a pool of rainwater to irrigate on Chol HaMoed used another one to prevent people from digging a new canal during Shviz and told them to fix the damaged canal next to it that was one tefach deep and should be six tefachim deep instead. Which reminds us, the Mishnah and Seder Masaknis Mekukalis Mamod, one may fix a damaged irrigation canal on Chol HaMoed. And the Gemara asks, what is considered damaged? And Rabbi Yama said that if the canal is now one tefach deep, it may be restored to a depth of six tefachim. The Gemara asks, what would be the din if one wanted to restore a canal that is two tefachim deep to its original depth of seven tefachim? Do we say that here too it's permitted because he's also digging five tefachim? Or do we say that since there's an additional tefach that's not necessary for the workings of the canal, eka tircha yisera, there's too much exertion and it is prohibited? The Gemara leaves it as a teku. Daf hay. So the simmer daf hay is hay or a haystack. So here goes. The children sitting on bales of hay. Hey, that must be more on daf hay. The children sitting on bales of hay watching their father schwitz as they dug a new cistern on Chol HaMoed for the public, which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, Mesaknis Kukuli Amayim Shibushus Rabim, one may fix damaged cisterns in Rishus Rabim Chol HaMoed, which refers to clearing them out of debris. And the Gemara inferred from here, Chatita In Chafir Alo, clearing the cisterns out is permitted, but digging new ones is not. Rabbi Yaakov said in the Rabbi Yochanan that they didn't teach that digging cisterns was forbidden except when the public doesn't need them. But if the public needs them, then digging them is permitted. So the children sitting on bales of hay watching their father schwitz as they dug a new cistern on Chol HaMoed for the public didn't challenge the Rebbe who was there as well. Which reminds us, Rabbi Shubin Levi said, Kol Hasham or Chosav, whoever evaluates his ways, which Rashi explains means that he weighs the loss of doing a mitzvah versus its reward and the gain of doing an avera versus the loss, Zocha v'rob Yishuasa Shekosh Baruch Hu will be Zocha to see the salvation of Shekosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara brings the story of Rabbi Yanai's Talmud, who would challenge him in Shir, but not when it was widely attended by the public, so as not to embarrass Rabbi Yanai if he didn't know the answer. So the children sitting on bales of hay watching their father schwitz as they dug a new cistern on Chol HaMoed for the public didn't challenge the Rebbe who was there as well, marking graves in a base of pras, which reminds us, the Mishnah had stated, Mitzainis Kvaros, one may mark graves on Chol HaMoed. The Gemara brings a brice that teaches that only things that transmit tumah through an oil can be marked, with one example being a base of pras, a field where a grave was plowed over. After bringing statements that indicate that a base of pras does not transmit tumah via an oil, the Gemara concludes and brings a mission from Olos that teaches Shosha base of pras. There are three types of base of pras. Dav Vav, so the simmer Dav Vav is a sword. So here goes. The Zal Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords, that must mean we're on Daf Vav. The Zal Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords to inspect the fields for Kalayim, which reminds us the Mishnah had said that Shulchei Basin also go out to inspect the fields for Kalayim, referring to Pesach Chol HaMoed. The Gemara on Ardaf has said this is a contradiction to a Mishnah in Shkalim that says the inspectors go out on the 15th of Adar. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanin each provide an answer. One said that the Mishnah in Shkalim is dealing with the early crop, whereas the Mishnah here is dealing with the later crop. The other one said, Kam Bezvarim, Kam Beyirakos. The Mishnah in Shkalim deals with grains, whereas here it deals with vegetables. So the Zel Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol HaMoed, brandishing their swords to inspect the fields for Kalayim, saw a man use his sword to make a channel to draw water from one tree to another, which reminds us that the next Mishnah says, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Moshe has a mind, mi'ilin li'ilin. We may draw the water from one tree to another tree on Chol Moed, provided that one does not water the entire field. Rashi explains that the trees need to be irrigated to prevent financial loss, but the whole field may not be watered because the grains, in this case, can survive on rainwater, and plants that were not watered before the Moed may not be watered on Chol Moed. Rashi explains that since they were not watered regularly before, they'll survive if one doesn't water them during Chol Moed. L'chamim matirim b'zeh b'zeh, but the chamim permit watering in both cases. Rashi explains that the chamim here is Rabbi Meir, who permits watering a rainwater field in order to enhance its growth. So the zealous Shulchei Basin that went out on Chol Moed brandishing their swords to inspect the fields for kalayim saw a man use his sword to make a channel to draw water from one tree to another, next to an anthill where a battle to the deaths was going on. Which reminds us, the Gemara brings up Brice that states, we may destroy anthills on Chol Moed, and Rav Shimon Gamliel explains how. One brings dirt from this anthill and puts it in this anthill, and the ants choke each other to death. But she explains that when the ants smell the unfamiliar soil, they panic and kill each other. All right, that concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avram Goldman Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.